As we get to Joshua chapter 1, many of you have heard this passage preached, and this is not going to be, you know, some kind of earth-shattering revelation that nobody's ever heard before. I'm nervous about those most times. You know, I mean, this thing's been studied for a good while. And so what we want to do is make sure that you know what the truth is, and so that you can live a life of joy and a life of peace and walk in the power of the living God. Amen? So you can be confident. You know, as you see on the internet, all kinds of new items that you can do. This thing's a little bit loud. Can you maybe turn it down just a little? And all kinds of new items, newfangled things, newfangled ways to make millions of dollars, you know, all kinds of great things, you know. And but what you want to do is you want to open the Bible, study the Bible, let the Word of God get on the inside of you. Amen? Let that Word of God get on the inside of you. You want to begin to hear God's Word. You want to begin to hear God's voice speak to you. Amen? You want to hear His voice speak to you. That's what God does with that Word. You know, if the Word is inspired, if the Word is given by God, it will indwell you, and it will transform and change you. You will begin to look like the Word. You'll begin to sound like the Word. People who get born again change. They begin to, not because they're working hard at it, you know, because if you work hard at it, at changing, you know, most times you get tired, you know, and you might quit, or you might slow down. But when the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you, and He's transforming and changing you, you begin to look like the Bible. You begin to look like Jesus. And people begin to recognize that you look like Jesus. All right? David Cooper, Pastor David Cooper, he's in Brazil, as I mentioned, but he sent a scripture this morning which really does have a... I'm going to read it first before I get to Joshua, and you're going to find that it actually addresses and sounds like what we're reading, because God speaks to different people throughout the Scripture, and He also speaks to different people throughout the world, individually, personally, so that we hear the same thing. The Scripture says that Paul said that you may speak the same thing, that you may speak the same thing. So if Ken comes from Louisiana and he shares the word that he got, and David Cooper's down traveling in Brazil, and he shares a word, and then I've got a word I'm going to give to you today, and it all sounds very similar, or it really addresses it from various vantage points, then you know what? I think God may be speaking, you know, like Susie was talking about, is that, you know, did Susie hear a word from God? Yeah, I believe that, because Susie has the Spirit of God on the inside of her. Amen? Amen. That didn't discourage me at all. That encouraged me. That word encouraged me. Now, some folks say, you know, some words that I heard, they were discouraging. Well, maybe it's just because it got you, maybe it spoke to your sin. Maybe that was it, you know, and you kind of slowed you down, you know. God doesn't depend on you to quit sinning in the sense that, you know, but He gave you, He has now empowered you. You have, the power of God is in you over sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to. You know, you choose to because you want to, you feel like, you know, God let you down or something like that. So you're going to go eat a big bag of M&Ms and popcorn just so you can feel better. You know, many times we go sin or do all kinds of any other ugly things that might be able to be done in the world. You know, and we have so much stuff. So much stuff. Some of you have seen the movies about human trafficking and various things. These are things that people do because they don't know God. Because they're looking for something that will satisfy a need. And some of it is so horrific. But they don't even know it. They don't even recognize it. Because they're trying to fill a need that only God can fill. And the enemy will take that opportunity to do that. Right? So David said this word today over in David Cooper, that is. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Where'd he go? But the path of the just, now I want you to remember this when we start talking about Joshua, okay? Remember this. But the path of the just, this is Proverbs 4:18, is as the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as a darkness, which is what we talked about. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Now this is the part that will connect with us today. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Next verse, he didn't write this one down, but keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you can read the rest of that psalm. It's powerful. Amen. Proverb chapter 4. All right. So let's look over here at Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. So after the death of somebody, whoever it is, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. Well, what does that mean? You go, wow, you didn't say anything yet. No, I did say something. I said, after the death of somebody, the servant of the Lord, in this case Moses, it came to pass. Things don't stop. After the death of the servant of the Lord, things do not stop. How many know George Washington's dead? George Washington? Man, we love George. He's a wonderful guy. You know, helped found this country. Well, I wish George was here. George Washington could save us today. Well, you know what? George isn't here. Guess who's here? You are. Well, you were trying to think of some politician. No, you're here. Norman's here. Glory to God, Norman is here. And thank God that you are here. Because God has now called you, because George isn't breathing anymore, but you are, Ken. You're breathing. God can speak to you, and you can get up and go hear his voice and do what he says. Amen? That's what we'll do. So, when he says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. So he spoke to Joshua. Who's that? The son of Nun. N-U-N. A guy named, his last name was Nun. N-U-N. Moses' minister. Moses, his right-hand man. His assistant. His brother in the Lord. The young man who was working with him. Moses' minister, and he said this. He says this. He says this to Joshua. Here's the Lord. The Lord is speaking to Joshua. Well, that's another thing that we need to look at. Is how did that start happening? I mean, the Lord spoke to Moses, but apparently the Lord spoke to Joshua. Well, that's neat. So the Lord didn't just speak to the big guy. He actually spoke to his servant as well. He spoke to other people who he'd been bringing along. So it says to Joshua, Moses, my servant. So thank God. First of all, Moses is God's servant. God acknowledged that. Remember how I tell you to slow down and read the scripture slowly? Most of y'all have been on verse 6 by now. I'm just on verse 2, line 1. Because God said every word that God says, well, men wrote this book and it's been translated. That wasn't even the original Greek or Hebrew. You're reading English and it's probably been translated 5 times since then. You know what? The Spirit of God speaks to me and speaks to you. and he will take what has been translated and he will speak it to you in the way that you can understand and hear him, and you will walk with God and you will hear God here in 2023, just like the apostles did in 23. In the same way that that Moses and them heard him in B.C. 2023, you will hear God. Same way that Joshua did. Okay, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's talking to God is talking to Joshua, and Moses is dead. Well, he kind of knows that. They had the funeral, like we did yesterday. They had the funeral. So Moses is dead. But that is what that means is that there has been a change in the leadership. There has been a change in the pecking order. Okay? So something will have to change. Something will have to somebody else is going to step into that role, because George Washington can't do it. You know, Pastor Jim can't do it. You know, so you know, God set here 6 elders here in this church. He set 6 elders in this church. You know, and he set them in place a number of years ago. Set them in place to walk together and hear the Lord. And that's so when the servant of the Lord is dead, has gone, he says, "Now therefore arise." So now he's giving Joshua a command. So Moses is finished. Now you, therefore, arise. So it tells him, get up. Tells him, go over this Jordan. Who's going to go? You. And who else? All this people. Where are they going to go? To the land. Which land? The land which I do give to them. And to emphasize it, even to the children of Israel. Okay, so after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, this people, this people, to the land which I do give to them. God gave you some land. Amen. You know, now there is some land that God gave us, and it's the land that is a new land, the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. Well, did we get the United States? You know, did we get Texas? Did we get this land right here where the church is? You know, this is not the land he's talking about. Now, we use this land. Thank God we use this land. But we use this land temporarily because we have here no permanent dwelling, remember? We have here no permanent dwelling. Even Abraham said that. He was in Hebrews. He says he's looking for a city whose builder and whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for a city. We're not in the city yet. We're not there yet. Okay? We're walking with God. But he tells us to do these things. You know, arise, go over this Jordan. He tells us to do things. You know, once you are now, you know, responsible for this people, then God tells you to do things. Well, okay, God, we're going to listen to you, and we're going to go do these things. Over in Exodus 33, I want you to look at that real quick. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 7. Exodus 33, verse 7. Hope you're writing these down. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it outside the camp, afar off from the camp. There's a story behind that. And called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside of the camp. So say this whole bunch of pews here, say this is the camp, okay? You got the camp. Y'all are in the camp, right? Okay, and out here is outside the camp. And so they pitched the tabernacle of the tent of God. God's tent was out here. Tabernacle, just a tent. And so he pitched that outside of the, just on the outside of it. All right? And, oh, by the way, it was afar off, so it's probably way over there. So it's afar off. That everyone who sought the Lord would go out there. And verse 8, it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose up. Okay, that'd be like if all of y'all rose up, as if y'all did that. And stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses. I picture it like a whole, like an army camp with a bunch of pup tents all in a row, all in rows, all these pup tents, you know. And every man comes out of his tent when they say, you know, there's a holler that Moses is going down to the tabernacle. Well, then they get up out of their tent and they stand up at the tent door and look. Maybe they salute. And they're looking. Everybody, they're looking because Moses is going down to talk to God. So they all get out and that's what they're doing. Imagine that little army camp. And every man looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar, remember the cloudy pillar, right? That's the presence of God. That's the presence of God that covered the camp and covered them as they walked because it kept them cool from the ravages of the desert heat. Unlike, because we don't have that one here in Texas, apparently. Ken, it's been hot in Texas. I don't know about Louisiana, it's been hot. 111, 115. It's hotter than it's been in New Jersey, I'll tell you. I got some friends here who know that. All right, now. So here comes this cloudy pillar, and it descended as a pillar, and it sat right in front of the door of the tabernacle where Moses was. So the presence of God was there. And the Lord talked with Moses. So as long as that pillar of cloud was outside the tent of the congregation and Moses was in there, God talked to him. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. That's y'all. And the Lord spoke to Moses. How did he speak to him? Face to face. He spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp. So once that was all done, Moses turned back again into the camp. Now look at this next verse. Who are we talking about now in our study today? Is Joshua. So apparently Joshua went down there with him to the tabernacle of congregation. And he goes down there when God is talking to Moses. And that cloudy pillar is down there. And he turned to get to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, same guy. But now it tells us specifically, a young man. He was a young man. So he's not old like Moses. He's a young man. Departed not out of the tabernacle. So Moses gets up, finishes. God finishes with him. Says, okay, see you tomorrow. See you later. So Moses walks out, but Joshua, he stayed in the tabernacle. Moses didn't rebuke him. Moses didn't look back at him and say, hey, stay right here. He did not do that. He kind of liked it that, I'm assuming, he kind of liked it that Joshua just figured it out. He decided it was better to stay close to God than to stay close to Moses. It's better to stay close to God than close to the man of God. I mean, it's good to stay close to the man of God, but once you figure out how to stay close to God, that's what God wants, and that's what you're... If you have a disciple or person who is walking with you, you're walking with, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the day that you say, thanks, I'm going to stay here. And that little wink goes, good, good deal. You got it. And so that's what every one of us is like that. Every one of us was like that with Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim was like, he didn't want you following him around. He was just as happy if you would just leave him alone. You know, he didn't mind you following him around if you were asking for Jesus. If you were asking for, how do I hear God? You know. And you can't tell somebody how to hear God. You say, stay close. You can't tell them, because they're not going to hear God the same way you do. You know. But God is going to speak to you. So this is Joshua. This is the guy who now, Moses is dead. Go ye therefore. Arise and go over this river Jordan. Now, okay, so first of all, he tells him, you know, what to do. So let's get back over there. So Joshua, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Woo! Put that one in a frame. Just put your name in there. Right? Okay, now after that verse 2, finishing up. So go over this Jordan in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore go, arise, go over this Jordan. So that's the first step. And all this people to the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place. Now here's what's going to happen when you get there. Every place. Now they hadn't done it yet. He's just talking to it. You realize that, right? They hadn't done this yet. He's just talking to it. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. So, what I said to Moses, the same is applying to you. Is that word, that, you know, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you. Well, good, that means if I just do that, and then I'll get all this land. Well, you know, hear God, okay? What that means is that, what I believe it means, is that, first of all, the first land you're going to get is your own life, is your own heart. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it unto you. I'm taking authority over, first of all, me, according to the Word of God, then my family. Amen? Then, you know, things that are on the outside, but whether learn to walk with God in the church, learn to walk with God in the congregation, then learn to walk with God, you know, on the outside and having a testimony on the outside that people look at you and they know that you are a person who walks with God and you're a person who knows the Lord and has confidence that God Almighty is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who carries this nation. He's the one who carries this world. You know, God is in charge. Well, it doesn't look in charge. No, God's in charge. He's in charge. You are walking with Him. Now, whatever else is going on, you don't know everything that's happening. You don't know the backstory. You don't have to know the backstory. Well, yes, I do. I've got to be able to make a good decision. No, if you're under God, you have to listen to Him and obey. And obedience is not about salvation. Salvation is done. That's fixed. Even your sin life, even the things that you sin, get forgiven, and all that kind of thing. Obedience is walking with the Lord and seeing the life of God and the power of God manifest in the earth. How many know if I drop my book, you know, if I drop my book here, there's that old gravity. Amen. Well, that's just one of the laws of God. Another one is if I stick my finger in the fire, what happens to my finger? Burns. Said, don't do that. Okay, God's pretty good. He says, don't do that. He says, don't commit adultery. He said, don't kill people. You know, all of those things are things that people who are walking with God don't do. That's the law of God. You know, even your old Ten Commandments, you know, the old basics, you know, and the Model T version, you know, just the very basics of those things that God did on the inside. Those are the first 10 things that God does, right? When He moves into you, His first 10 things He does is those 10 commandments. That's it. You know, He does that. Now, you still got a flesh on the outer carton that tends to trip up. But then we just say, God, thank you for forgiving me for that. Thank you for empowering the empowerment. Thank you for walking with me. Amen? And transforming me and changing me. Making me an evidence of the kingdom. Song we sing called, I See the Evidence of your goodness all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over. Do you see those? Do you see his promises in fulfillment? Are you singing that song? I see the evidence. For we know that all things work together for good. For we hope, we wish. I hope it's so. I hope it's true. No, it's more than hope it's so, hope it's true. It is. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. These are the things that God has given, the promises God has given to you, that you walk in them. Don't examine your examiner. Don't examine let's see, I got to think this through. No, I wouldn't. I would avoid thinking this through if I was you. But I would just trust that what God said, because he birthed you, he knew you from the foundation of the world. Joshua knew that God had called him and God had begun to put him in a position to fulfill the calling of God. The job was not finished. People were not even, they were not even over the Jordan River. They're right on the edge of it and the guy died. Oh. No. Okay. God's not limited by people and whether they stay around or whether they don't. God's not limited. You know, God's not limited by whether or not your mama, your daddy, your son, your daughter. I know it's ugly. It's tough to say. But God's not limited by the things that happen to you unless you agree to be limited by those things. Well, this happened to me. You know, Luke had something happen to him when he was 20 years old. Well, life is over. Everything could have been just bad. You know, he had some medical thing come up. And, he could have just give up. But God did something else. God had another plan. It took a few years, but God had another plan. And God has a plan for Susie. God has a plan for Peggy. Amen. And you can't depend on what people do or don't do or whether things go according to the way you thought they should go or not. You just rejoice and move forward because God's got a plan. And if you're still breathing, God's got a plan. He's got a plan for you. Amen. You're an ambassador.
I am?
Yeah, you're an ambassador. All right, let's look here. I claim I'm not a preacher, but I spend way too much time on one scripture. So every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, every place, that have I given unto you. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Now, don't make that too big. Don't like claim a pot of gold, somebody else's pot of gold or something like that. Huh? Just claim this. Every place that the sole of my foot will tread, God gave it to me. In other words, there's nothing that I lack, nothing that I need, nothing that will stop me. Now, he's going to say this next. He's going to say this verse next, and this will reinforce what we're talking about. Okay? Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness, and so he's going to describe it now, the borders of the land of Israel, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates. Well, that's way over, if you ever looked at a map, that's way over in Iraq. That's where the Garden of Eden was next to. It started over there, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. That was over there. Well, if you look at a map to Israel right now, you see it's about this skinny. It doesn't go anywhere near. Iraq doesn't want to let them in there. But that's their land because God gave it to them. God promised it to them. So from that Lebanon, wildernesses in Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, well, the Hittites are mad, and to the great sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea over there on the west side, toward the going down of the sun, that's the west side, That shall be your coast or your borders. Verse 5, watch this now. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and will not I will not fail you nor forsake you. So let's say that again. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Okay. Well, if he's with Moses and he's got a cloudy pillar coming over here talking to Moses, I'll just claim Joshua all the way down. I'll be that guy. Y'all going to do that too? It applies to women too. Amen? It applies to girls. Girls can play. Okay? So he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you, nor forsake you. So he says, in light of 5, let's go on to 6. In light of verse 5, let's go on to 6. So nobody's going to be able to nobody will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What does that really mean? Well, picture David and Goliath. There shall be no man be able. No man will have the ability to stand and stay standing in before you. What happened to Goliath? He was standing. Then what happened? That stone hit him right in the head, and he was no longer standing. He was no longer standing. That is my favorite part. That is my favorite view of this scripture. Nobody shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He is defying the armies of the living God. And here comes this young man running up to him, and the guy's just snickering, looking at him. But all of a sudden, the guy just went, everything went black. And he fell flat on his face. He never even knew what hit him. No man shall be able to stand before you all the day. Well, it seems like things just aren't going my way today. Or it seems like over the last couple of years, things have just been kind of going downhill. Now, I'm going to take this promise. This is a promise. As I was with God, Moses, so I'll be with you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, you could believe your problem. Well, I just don't think so. I think it's just going to not work out. Well, go ahead. Have at it. I like my plan better. I like my plan better. As God's on my side, nothing will by any means hurt me. Amen? You agree with that? You want to agree with that? I mean, just try it out and it'll work. Amen. Just try it out, Ray. It'll work. You know, I could see people in the back of the church. This is great. I can see Norman in the back of the church. I'll call him. I'll call his name too. Amen? Praise God. Good place. Good thing this place ain't full. I can see everybody. Amen. So next verse says, be strong. So therefore, if he's made you a promise, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Because, for to this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land. In other words, here's another part of the promise. So, be strong and of a good courage. That is, take the promise and run with it. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't back off of my promise. For to this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Oh, he's pumping this, getting this thing even bigger. So verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. And verse 7 says, only be you strong and very courageous. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. See, the enemy wants you, the world and the enemy and your own, the enemy wants to get you in your head against you yourself. So, or the scripture talks about people who oppose themselves. And the people who oppose themselves are the ones who fight against God and His promises and His word. You oppose yourself because you are not taking advantage of God's promise. You are, like Paul, kicking against the goads. Jesus is in charge. He is God, and He has made you a promise, and you are busy trying to make something else work, and it doesn't work. All of these things. You're trying to make something work that doesn't work. That's what happens in the world, is men, people try to make things work that God said in the Ten Commandments and all the way through. These things don't work. Don't try them. Men with men doesn't work. Doesn't produce anything. Women with women. Trying to make girls out of boys and boys out of girls. It doesn't work. And now we're trying to do more of it than ever before. It's rebellion against God. What does that mean? It's because you're trying to make something better that can't be made better. You're trying to go according to your feelings instead of according to God's promises. And God's promises are good. Amen? Be thou strong and very courageous, in verse 7, that you, and here's what that looks like, being strong and very courageous. What? Here's how this looks. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Now what did I just say with those examples? Don't turn from God's law to the left or to the right. So walking strongly and courageously is that you may observe to do. In other words, put your hand to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Now, again, let's go back to this. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're born again through faith in the blood of Jesus has nothing to do with you keeping a law. You're not keeping a law so you can be saved. You never could. A law could never save you anyway. The law is just a demonstration of what God looks like and what a godly manifestation looks like. These are the things that somebody looks like and what they do when they're in the same tabernacle with God, right? This is what you look like when you're walking face to face to God. You look like that. Now, so keeping the law, when you know to do it, if you know to do good and you don't do it, to you it's sin. Well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Is that so? Again, when we're talking about law and obedience, we're not talking about salvation and whether God likes you or not. Does that make sense? God loves you. He thinks you're the greatest thing. He just loves you. He just wants, it's like us and our kids. You know, we don't want them rolling off the cliff. We don't want them getting out into the pool without an adult. We don't want them doing things and getting in situations that will hurt and harm them. The same thing God wants for you. He doesn't want you out there doing things, so He says, do it this way. Do it my way. Don't try to cross the River Jordan without splitting it in half. You know, go ahead and split the river in half before you go. That way you won't get your feet wet. You notice they didn't try to go across the Red Sea without splitting it in half, right? They just didn't know what they were fixing to do, but God did that. Let's just go across. I'm sure they had some guy that said, let's just go across. Let's swim. Let's swim across. The Egyptians are coming. So, end of verse 7, don't turn from it to the right hand, to the left hand, that you may prosper. What will happen if you're walking according to what God chose you to walk? He said, that you may prosper whithersoever you go, wherever you go. That you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. So don't turn from it to the left hand or the right hand, and meditate therein day and night. Put that in you. Put that in you. Put that in you. Put that in you. Let that replace all of your programming. You had other programming, I remember Pastor Robert Mowery used to say the world's version of the golden rule is do others before they do you. You know. That's the law of this world. Dog eat dog, as Jim would say, you know. Turn not from this law of God, from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, where's the law of God now? The law of God is, Jesus said there's two. It's reduced to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the laws and the prophets are in these two commandments. So, there it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians chapter 5? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things. It's like the Ten Commandments, just a manifestation of God in you. That's the manifestation of God. And so that's what these things are, is that as you walk according to what them, and you're going to hear them from the Holy Spirit, aren't you? You're going to hear them from the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll see some of these things in the Scripture. You know, I remember Jim used to say, early on, I determined if I saw it in the Bible, I was going to do it. If I saw it in the Bible, I was going to just do it. Just not even ask a question. Just do it. You know, well, that's not a bad start until you find out you can't do it. But then it's okay. Because God already said, I did it. I did it for you. I did it in you. I did it through you. And see, that way you're not depressed anymore because God said he did it. Are you not depressed? Say, I'm not depressed. Oh, hallelujah. You're such a fun bunch. I want to hang out with y'all. I want to hang out with the people who are not depressed because they know that God has worked everything for their good and for their benefit. Amen? All right? And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. Cogitate. Think on it. When the other things come up to meditate on, you kick them out and you just meditate on this. When the devil comes in, the enemy comes in like a flood in your mind. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Kicks him out. Sweeps out the house. You shall meditate therein day and night. Remember where he talks about meditate with your own heart upon your bed, right? Upon your bed. When the enemy comes in there and tries to, it looks like you messed it up again today. Anybody been like that? You know, you get on your bed at night, it gets really quiet, and then the enemy comes in, lays right down next to you. He lays there with you, and you know, puts his head down on the pillow. Said, boy, you screwed it up today, buddy. You made the biggest mess. I don't even know if God can forgive you. You know, that's what the devil did at the tree, right? You know, yeah. And, you know, she ate, he ate, and the devil was going, you did it! You know, and he was cackling, he was loving it, because, you know, he got him. He sold, he made that sale. He made that sale. The devil likes to make a sale, you know? The devil likes to, you know what I'm talking about? The devil likes to make a sale. That is, he's got you, you bought it. You bought the lie, and now you're walking around depressed and fearful. Read this chapter again. The enemy wants you fearful that when what you were counting on or the person you were counting on disappears or fails, then everything is lost. No, you are living with Almighty God. His cloud and His pillar is inside your outside your tabernacle, right there with you. And He said He'll never leave you or He'll never forsake you. You remember what it said right here? It said that. You know, you're never going to receive. Verse 5. I will not fail you. God said He wouldn't fail you. Well, that was Joshua. No, it's Addie. God will not fail her. She is winning everything. If you don't like Donald Trump, I'm sorry. You know, are you tired of winning? You know, Jesus could say that. You know, are you tired of winning? Because I win every single day. Now, there's the guy that sits up on the pole, and he's giving away all of his goods, you know, and he sits way up there. And the Prince of Anhalt, you know, he's sitting up on a pole, you know, having nothing for God. And people walk by and go, oh, that guy, look, he gave up everything for God, you know. And, well, you know, maybe so, but if he's happy up there, that's good. If he's happy up there, praise God, you know. Is that what you have to do to serve God? I don't want to do that. Well, no, God will speak to you. He'll lead you. And you need to walk with Norman. Amen? Or you need to walk with Ken. Or you need to walk with Joyce. Or you need to walk with Susie. You need to walk with Soren. You need to walk with these people who love and trust that God has doing everything right and that you will never fail. And these people encourage you. Amen? They encourage you in the Lord. Charlotte, encourage you in the Lord. Amen. Isn't that true? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll keep reading. We'll get through quickly. All right, so you're going to meditate there in day and night, verse 8. And observe to do, here it is again, observing to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous. You shall make your way. That's interesting. Then you shall make your way. I just read it out of the Bible. You shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So what is that? That is when you listen to God and keep His commands and His word inside you, day and night. Don't turn from it, from the right hand to the left, to the right hand or to the left. And so, and somebody's going to complain, but some preacher somewhere will complain about that and say it's a prosperity gospel. Well, it said prosperous right there. I mean, did it say it right there? Yes. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong, there it is again, and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I could have slowed down and spent a lot more time on those two last verses, but we won't do that, because you can do that. Now, I'm going to break this. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, do not be dismayed. Well, I can't help it. Then get back to the promise. Get back to Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because He's not, God's not disappointed. He's not afraid, and He's not dismayed. I said, God's not afraid, and God's not dismayed. He's not looking at His, folding His arms, tapping His toe, looking down at you, going, tisk, tisk, tisk. Well, I had such high hopes. God's got high hopes. Amen? Amen. He certainly does. For the Lord your God is with you wherever, come on, where's Monty? Wherever he went, you know. Wherever he went, you know, the Lord, his God is with him, you know, wherever you go. If you'll look over. But anyway, so back there, you know, when David first started talking about when David Cooper shared what he shared today, over there in Proverbs chapter 4, he said, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Isn't that kind of what God was telling Joshua? Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all that find them, and health to all their flesh. I said, Lord, thank God. I think you gave David the word of the Lord today. And you gave it to me and you gave it to him too. And he's all the way in Brazil. One last thing. Over in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Write that, Matthew 5 and 6. And go through there. Go through there and look for all the instances where Jesus is talking. This is a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Look there. Let's see, it's 5, 6. Is there 7, 7? More than 5 and 6. That God is telling the audience there at his Sermon on the Mount, and it was a mixed crowd, and most of them Jews, but I mean, there's a lot of different people. We're ready? Okay, praise the Lord. That's where Monty went. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's talking about God being your Father, and that was a whole new concept because God was God, YHWH, Yahweh, and you couldn't even say his name. But Jesus is saying, your Father, your Father, your Father. That's the relationship even that God had with Moses, because it was before a law. How many know Moses wasn't under the law? God gave the law to Moses to create a nation, but Moses was having a relationship with God outside and apart from the law. Anybody know that? He didn't get a law till later. He saw a bush and God came and talked to him. That's the relationship you have. Same one that Abraham had. Same one that everybody who had with God before the law. That's the relationship that you have. The law was just to bring you to Jesus. And now you're here. Oh, this is so great. So this is your Father in heaven. Amen. So go ahead and read through chapters 5 and 6 of Matthew and look for instances where God talks about the relationship between you and your Father. That's what this relationship is like with God with Moses, God with... And even though they had this law, Joshua has a relationship with God face to face. Amen. Hope you're blessed today. Read those first 8-9 verses of Joshua again. Joshua, a young man. Well, you don't have to be a young man. You can be any age you want to follow God. Amen? Well, look at that. It's right now, it's 12 o'clock. It's time for lunch. All right. Well, God is so good. Amen. If you have an offering today, you can put it back in the back of the church. Amen. Just keep the lights on. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. And... let's all stand together. If you need prayer for anything today, please don't leave without finding somebody next to you, or come down and find one of the elders, find David, find me, and we'll lay hands on you. But every believer can lay hands on you. Amen? But if you want somebody who you think's official, me and David will pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. David, would you close us in prayer?